A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 27th of September, 2020. We shall continue from where we stop. We are at page 178 of this book, The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. The title of the topic is Safeguard All Living Beings. Safeguard All Living Beings. According to the author, about 20 years ago when she wrote this book, Taiwan suffered severe damage from Typhoon Dong in 1994 and Typhoon Herb in 1996. So it seems it is very common in Taiwan, very frequent for them to experience typhoon. Natural disasters arise from man-made catastrophe. People have been excessively excavating mountain regions and fail to ensure soil, water and soil preservation. As a result, mountain soil has become loose, or it has resulted in soil erosion. When a typhoon hit, devastating landslip, landslide collapse roads, create mudslide, and even cause mountain terrain to shift. When we look into the cause of all this, we find that these disasters are really created by humans. We need to modify the understanding of it. It's not to say created by human directly. It's the human consciousness, the collective consciousness, depending on the locality, the nature's karmic law, and also physical law. So all these, they interact, then they will result in various type of phenomena. Physical phenomena, nature's phenomena, conditioned by the spiritual laws and scientific law. In recent years, disasters have become more frequent around the world. Have we been awakened by this and learned to love and respect Mother Nature? In addition to natural disaster, various kinds of epidemic, such as mad cow disease and avian flu, had already caused global panic. They are warnings from nature. So, including the recent COVID-19. This pandemic is really devastating. Why are they... Why are there such diseases? Let us look at the environment of factories, farms, large number of cattle and poultry are pen, what is the meaning? And raised in a small space, They are even given growth hormone to speed up their growth. Once this animal enter the food chain, the impact they have is certainly severe. Crops are also sending out global warning. For instance, crops are affected by soil and water that are polluted by chemical waste. We often hear of tinted rice that has been found to contain heavy metals such as mercury or cadmium. Farmers are forced to destroy the crop they work so hard to plant and cultivate. Furthermore, they have to leave polluted farmland fellow suffering further loss. So these are the things that are happening according to the author. The human being keep on creating pollution, throwing the ecosystem out of balance and causing animals and plants to become contaminated and mutated. When germs accumulate to a certain degree in the food chain, outbreaks happen. In 2003, the SARS epidemic shook the whole world in fear. At that time, I said that we should see this crisis as an opportunity to change. There is an old saying, be cautious and be afraid. It means we should follow rules, be cautious in daily living, and take care of our mind. But I do not think we should be afraid. Many people are constantly concerned about their personal interests, whether they stand to gain or lose something. They are always anxious. Actually, it is useless to be anxious. Like I always say, when you have a situation or a problem, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, or anxious mind state is of any use. It won't help you. It will make things worse. All this negativity of mind state will cripple you, paralyze you, and condition coming negativity. Then the author continues, we should be reverent and vigilant and respect on ourselves with a calm and serene mind. Sorry, reflect. And reflect on ourselves with a calm and serene or sincere mind. We should act with integrity when dealing with people and matters to accumulate good karma. We must not hurt others or damage the environment. It is said that those who follow the principle of nature will flourish. And this is very true. Those who violate them will perish. Yeah, very true. Not following moral ethic is violating the principle of nature. Once the cycle of nature falls out of order, how can we survive? Therefore, I strongly encourage everyone to adopt a vegetarian lifestyle. So this is the author's advice. Generally speaking, vegetarianism means having a meatless diet, while following precept means not killing. We should further guard our mind, abide by our duties, and conduct ourselves properly in our daily living. Moreover, we should say words, good words, do good deeds, and have a beautiful heart, a good heart. So all this fundamental cultivation, following the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then today, I think I saw a WhatsApp video which Miss Lee sent out to my Kayamita group. It's a very good video. Spiritual Awakening. The title is on Spiritual Awakening. Then they say this will shock the world. So it's a must view video. So the message is very good, very beautiful. In fact, this is what my nature has been sharing too. Then Jay Krishnamurti also understand. But Jay Krishnamurti put it in a different way. He said, for the world to change, the human consciousness must change. That's why he said the individual must change. When the individual change, the collective will change. Then this particular video, I don't know the source, but it's a very good video. Their message is very good. It's about spiritual awakening. So, like I always share, human being or living being, most of these non-cultivated or non-spiritual people, they only know the thought process. So a lot of thought-based living, most of them are heedless. They don't understand spiritual teaching. They are not meditated. They are not cultivated. They don't have the Dhamma. So because of that, the world deteriorate and become what it is. Yeah. But like I always say, our this era of beings, generation, are very blessed because there are some, although the numbers is very small, they also know, they also mention that. But these are beautiful spiritual beings or cultivator, according to this video, they say these are actually spiritual beings that has been sent to our planet, and now more and more of these spiritual beings are starting to awaken, to recall their nature from the past, and they are teaching people how to develop the silent mind, the silent awareness within, to meditate. Means they go to the consciousness, they don't use thought. And he also mentioned in the video, this spiritual being, they meditate from their heart. And when they radiate this love and compassion and virtue from their heart, they send out a lot of this photon light. It seems a type of pure energy, photon-like. And according to their statistics, I don't know how they got it, he said the normal being who do this, radiate love and all those things, meditate from the heart, they can actually touch about 5,000 deluded unconscious beings. And transform them. So as this number grow, there are more and more and more. But within this number is also mentioned, there are some who can meditate very well from their nature. They can retain. And this one, the amount of photon light that emit from their heart when they meditate is a few 100,000 times. So he said these are the very rare ones. So he always say there is hope for this planet, provided you understand. You must not believe what all these politicians and these human rights people or whatever, some of these NGO, to say you have to go out and demonstrate through violence to bring about change and all those things. Actually, no need. Through love, compassion, through this evolution of consciousness, the change is gradual, but it will happen. And when it happens, according to the video too, is it after it happens, the world don't need all this being again, you know, by then. All of the heedless living being would have transformed. So it's quite an interesting video. You should listen to it and develop understanding. In fact, that is the best way to bring about change or transformation. The global consciousness or planetary consciousness can only transform when the individual beings within this planet transform. And like I used to say, at the moment the numbers are very small, but you reach a critical mass, you need to reach a critical mass. As far as my nature understand is, you only need about 1% of the human race to actually have this type of understanding and consciousness and awareness, then the critical mass is reached. Then after that, the transformation will be very fast. It will keep on influencing the rest. But at the moment, sad to say, we have even less than 0.00000%, very small. So this one needs to continuously evolve. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, in time to come, we will be able to approach that critical mass. But the good sign is these things are evolving towards the critical mass direction. It may take a while, but there are more and more of these type of beings receiving awakening and able to come out to share and do their part. And if you are in the spiritual field, you will understand what I mean. So this is just for the benefit of those who may not have the understanding. Do listen to that video that Miss Lee just sent out. So anyway, we'd like to thank Miss Lee for that video. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we continue your sharing. After the SARS epidemic, so SARS was an epidemic. It's not a pandemic yet. Pandemic means very large scale. So when they declare pandemic, it spread all over the world already, global. But epidemic means still contained in certain region, haven't spread to the whole world. Then the author said, why did I promote vegetarianism and good table manners? An adage said, for disease, the mouth is the portal of entry to the body. The cause of illness often lies in what we eat and drink. If we think that killing animal to satisfy our appetite is perfectly justified, the idea of survival of the fittest at the expense of the weak will become deep-rooted. Nowadays, many people have a lot of desire and discontentment. Their desire becomes greed, their discontentment becomes anger, and their ambition becomes ignorant. As a result, their hearts are filled with the three evil roots or three poisons of greed, hatred, and delusion or ignorance. If they indulge in these three poisons, even for a moment, evil thought will arise and lead to evil consequence. A vegetarian lifestyle means not consuming meat. By reducing meat consumption, fewer animals will be killed. Abstaining from killing is a show of genuine love for people, for all living beings, and for the Mother Earth, our planet. A saying goes, to know why battles are waged, just listen to the midnight cries in the slaughterhouse, the crying and anguish from living beings when they are slaughtered, spawn, bad karma. Only when we avoid killing and stop the accumulation of bad karma, but disaster be mitigated. Furthermore, we must protect all life. Protecting life is an expression of love and compassion. With compassion in our heart, we will want to protect all living beings and never kill them. The Buddha teaches all living beings are equal. They all possess Buddha nature. For this reason, We must respect and protect all living beings. Everything in this world coexists with Mother Earth. We should be grateful to Mother Earth for nurturing us and regard every being in this world as part of our big family. We should love and protect all beings as our own. If everyone can be prudent, cautious, and earnest, take up vegetarianism, follow precepts, and cherish themselves as well as others, the world will be harmonious and peaceful. So this is in accordance with the author's understanding, but it depends because there are other understanding too. That's the reason why during the Buddha's time, when Devadatta approached the Buddha to impose strict vegetarian meals for all the monks, the Buddha refused. He must have his reason. There are many things about karma and also the pros and cons of being vegetarian or non-vegetarian. We must avoid the two extremes, otherwise we create new problem. Because when you are extreme on one side, the nature's balance will be affected. Then the whole evolution ecosystem will be affected too. So according to the Buddha, the precept is based on mental intention. Then he talked about the three conditions for meat to be allowable. He called it the San Jing Rule, three types of pure meat. For monk, if they can make sure that whatever is offered satisfy these three conditions, then it's allowable. They can partake. Bu jian sa, bu wen sa, bu wei wo sa. So, bu jian sa means you don't see the kill. Bu wen sa means you do not hear the killing or perceive the killing. And it is not killed because of you. So once it satisfies these three conditions, then the Buddha says it's allowable. You can accept the offering and partake it. But it has its own merits. Because it's based on synergy and all those things. But karma is not what normal people can understand. It's a very big topic, very complicated. You need great beings like Samasambuddha to understand. As far as my nature understanding, there must be causes and conditions behind. Because to be compassionate, to be loving and all those things, you look at the world, there are a lot of suffering beings. There are a lot of maybe poor people, poor region and all those things, calamity all over. But how many can you save, can you help? There's a limit. Because it's not about doing good. The Buddha never say sabbe. But for avoiding evil, he says sabbe. All evil must be avoided. But when it comes to do good, kusalesa, doing good, upasampadan, when they condition to do only you do, he never says sabbe kusala. You have to do. Kusalesa upasampadan. He never says sabbe kusalesa. So the meaning is deep. The intent is very clear. When there is condition to do only you do, because you have your duties, there must be condition for things to happen. then there are many things behind karma. Because the way karma is to be understood is not easy. Any great wisdom, comprehensive great wisdom. Because everyone is different, condition different. Different people, different coming background, different locality, different condition. And everything has to be understood. So when it comes to the question of vegetarianism, there are pro and con that you need to understand. My advice is don't go for the extreme. And some people, they may have their reason why they will not go vegetarian. But if as a cultivator, when you understand why you need to go vegetarian, it's very good. Because your nature understand and you can keep to it. Why not? Go ahead. But not everybody is able to have those conditions. I remember during my cultivation in the early days, there were a period of time, I think 6 to 9 months, I remember. All of a sudden, my nature doesn't like to eat meat. And it was on this simple diet, very simple diet. Even I went and ordered wonton mee. I said, I don't want the char siu, I don't want the wonton. I just want the plain noodle with more veggie and the soup. That wonton mee seller looked at me like I must be crazy. Char siu wonton, don't want char siu, don't want wonton. So what are you eating? I said, never mind. I said, I need plain food. At that time, very funny. Then later on, I realized after a while, my body's DNA not suitable for this type of diet. Then I felt strange. How come like that? But then inside came the answer. I have this vow, very unique vow, that require me not to have a vegetarian diet this life because of that very special vow. That's why I finally revert back to normal food, normal living, because of that vow. Then there are also many other reasons. Because when I look at all those understanding, then I realize when you have the understanding of the unconditioned, actually, he know you, he know me. So it's not what you think. That's why within the conditioned world, you have form and mind, you have living being. But in the ultimate, no one born, no one sick, no one die. He know you, he know me. But you must have real wisdom of the both, conditioned and unconditioned, to understand life, to live. Then my nature realized, oh, that is the answer. That's how I just echo and flow, and I know what to do. Then ever since then, I have no more problem. Well, that was about 30 years ago. So you have to go through to understand whether to go vegetarian or not. It depends on your understanding. If you are ready, if your cultivation is strong enough, deep enough to allow you to have such understanding, and if your physical body allows it, why not? You should go. You should keep a vegetarian diet. Yeah, it's conducive. But just like somebody mentioned, if everybody go vegetarian, what will happen to the world? Yeah. Like India, cow is sacred. The cow, nobody will kill, nobody will disturb. Then you let them rot and all those things. Then when it comes to vegetarian, you have to look at the way they grow vegetarian food. It's also science involved. They try to they call it what? Genome science or what? Genetic engineering, generic modified food. So all their fruit that come up, seedless and all those things, and it's also involving a lot of pesticide, also bad for environment. So there are pros and cons to think. But if you keep your precept, you will understand the mental intention is very important. So keep to that, my advice is, unless you have understanding, don't just follow without understanding. And the Buddha has a reason why he doesn't impose strict vegetarian. Since his time, even when Devadatta approached him and challenged him. So all this understanding, hopefully, you can develop your own, then find your own balance. Okay, we move on to the next page. So this very vegetarianism and good table manners is actually by the author, Zheng Yan Fa Shi. Zheng Yan Fa Shi, yes. Zheng Yan Fa Shi. Shiji's address. So according to her, in the old days, most people in Taiwan were poor and daily necessities scarce. Back then, people asked me, is it required of a person to be vegetarian in order to practice Buddhism or cultivate Buddhism? Then the author replied, it's a mencius or mengzi say, having seen animals alive, a gentleman cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cry, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. It depends on how we view food. This is one way of approaching it, but there are many other reasons. That's why there must be condition and understanding. You cannot just base on certain views, certain understanding, and you expect everybody to follow. No, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. It depends on condition. The Buddha teaches us to transform and save all living beings. Bodhisattva cannot bear to see living beings suffer. They are empathetic and compassionate. And they love all beings. As Taiwan's economy improves, daily necessities become abundant. As a result, people now tend to eat and drink to excess. We should nurture our compassion and eat with the purpose of staying healthy. A vegetarian diet is indeed pure and healthy. An old saying goes, eating is the top priority in life. Food problems should therefore not be underestimated. Currently, there are 1.6 billion people in the world who are overweight, while 800 million people are starving. This phenomenon clearly shows that food is not evenly distributed. If we can balance the oversupply and shortage, food would not be wasted, and fewer people would suffer. To improve this situation, we must first change people's lifestyle. Cattle is raised in great numbers to support meat consumption. Forest has been cleared and trees chopped down to make space for cattle farm and pasture. As a result, the ecosystem is thrown out of balance. Cattle raising not only consume a huge amount of food and water, but also causes severe pollution. Eating a vegetarian diet is good for one's health and good for environment. Therefore, we promote vegetarianism and good table manners in hope that people can establish proper eating habits. For example, we should use serving spoon and chopstick at mealtime hold our bow and chopstick in a proper manner and dine harmoniously. So this is the suggestion of the author, the way the author believes is most conducive. Moreover, when we go out, we should bring our own eating utensil with us at all times. Reusable cups, bowls, and utensils. It is more environmentally friendly to use our own reusable eating utensil instead of disposable ones. Also, it is more sanitary. Many people recognize the advantage of doing this to protect their health, reduce garbage, and avoid wasting resources. This one, to a large extent, is very true. For example, there was a distributor of disposable eating utensils, Mr. Chen, whose business was very prosperous at the time. Upon hearing that we wanted to promote environmental protection in part by discouraging the use of disposable styrofoam products, he considered changing his trade to a different type of business. It does not take him long to make the difficult decision of shutting down his distribution business. In the beginning, his mother could not understand why he suddenly ended his lucrative business and gave up his income. On top of that, she also saw her own son and daughter-in-law collecting and sorting out recyclables. She was worried that people might think that her son's business has failed and we had to collect recyclables for a living. The 90-year-old mother felt so ashamed that she did not leave the house. Suji Commissioner and Fake Corp members helped Mr. Chen explain everything to his mother. They also took her to the recycling station to volunteer. One day, while visiting the recycling station, I saw the mother sitting in her wheelchair, happily sorting out recyclable. She said to me, "I am grateful for Suji for allowing an old woman like myself to do recycling work. I hope everyone can start recycling at home and extend their effort to their neighborhood, their community, and then to all of society. Only when we pull together goodness and blessing will the world become a better place." Okay, so we finished that second part. Now is the third chapter, Etiquette of a Bodhisattva Practitioner. So this one is very useful. You want to walk the path of a Bodhisattva, you must at least know your ethics. Each Buddhist practitioner has the responsibility to elevate the image of Buddhism, whether while praying, bowing, or holding a pole and chopstick. Each action is a display of etiquette as well as humanistic culture. Humanistic culture is quite abstract. Put simply, it is a display of truth. Kindness, and beauty. We should work humanistic culture in our daily living, starting with our own four basic needs: clothing, food, shelter, and transportation. For this reason, in the training program for Tsuji Commissioner and Faith Corp members, participants start by learning the basic etiquette for everyday living. For example, there is the etiquette for walking. Some people drag their feet when they walk, and their steps can be heard before they even arrive. Dragging one's feet reflects reluctance. In learning Buddhism, we must cultivate compassion. When we walk, we need to constantly think. We should tread lightly, lest the ground feels pain. When we lift our feet slowly and step down gently, it shows that we love the earth. We must dress neatly because our appearance reflects our sincerity. Those who appear sloppy exhibit a restless mind. Some young people like to wear bizarre clothing. They even cut holes in their clothing deliberately. I once asked a young man, "You have holes in your clothing. Why don't you mend them?" He replied, "I did that on purpose. It's very fashionable." Actually, such an appearance may give the impression that he has compromised his integrity and that he may not act properly. It is quite worrisome. That is the author's view. The Tsuji commissioner's uniform is called the robe of gentleness and forbearance. It signifies respect for others and equality for all. This part actually is good. It signifies respect for others and equality for all. So respect for others is very important so that you don't impose things on others. The uniform ensures that commissioner will not materially compare themselves to one another. Their mind remain calm and thus they are gentle and kind. The uniform also allows commissioner to recognize a fellow Tsuji volunteer. This uniformity is beauty. This uniformity is a beauty to be admired. In that sense, it's true. In addition to dressing neatly, Tsuji volunteer must also eliminate bad habits like smoking and chewing bitter nuts or leaves. For example, are harmful to one's health, and drinking confuses the mind, all of which brings harm to oneself and others. Moreover, Tsuji volunteer must be courteous. Courtesy is most easily expressed and perceived through body language. Smile, for example, shows friendliness. Tsuji beauty lies in its members' unity. It is beautiful when everyone thinks and moves as one. This is very true. We should not neglect humanistic culture in our daily life. This range just from tidying our living environment to interacting with family members and receiving guests. Furthermore, artistic activities such as tea ceremony, flower arrangement, and calligraphy not only exhibit beauty and cultivation, but also enriches the mind. At each certification ceremony of new Tsuji Commissioner and Faith Corps members, I always state my expectation. I hope they will carry the Buddha's mission and spirit on their right shoulder, the reputation of Tsuji on their left shoulder, and exude honesty and integrity in front. We must uphold the spirit of Buddhist practitioner and carry out Tsuji's mission well, so that Tsuji is recognized and trusted by society. In other words, Tsuji volunteer must conduct themselves with integrity and be harmonious in interacting with others and handling matters, so as to earn people's faith and respect, as well as to form good affinity with them. All of this must begin with ourselves as we at our recycling station. We often see senior volunteers presenting themselves cleanly and neatly, even in their advanced age. Every day they devote themselves to carrying out their common goal, protecting and loving the earth. They are indeed a beautiful group of silver-haired seniors. Such volunteers speak good words, think of good thoughts, and do good deeds, which are all acts of human kindness. We do good deeds with sincerity and the right mindset. That is true. We express what we believe through our speech and action. We express what we believe through our speech and action, that is beauty. We must be elegant, maintain an image of integrity, and be mindful of our disposition. Together we form the Tzuji world of two, kindness and beauty. So this part is also very meaningful. Okay, I think we can stop. For meditation, we have covered three lessons. Okay, so we have finished etiquette for Bodhisattva practitioner. Okay, we start at page 187. Then after that is chapter 8. Chapter 8 is quite interesting. Be a living Bodhisattva in this world. For most of you who have taken the vow, you will become a Bodhisattva, and you are already a Bodhisattva this life. So be a living Bodhisattva in this world is Ren Jian Bodhisattva, is cultivate the virtue of a Bodhisattva practitioner while living life, while in this world, in the midst of society. Okay, we will end here. Here at page 189. Be a living Bodhisattva. Okay. Now it's about 3:53. Okay, I will give you 45 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Then after that, we can have our another break. Then you can we can continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting come Q&A. Also, whatever sharing that you all want to share based on Dhamma in daily life. Dhamma in daily life. Okay. So you will get ready for silent awareness-based meditation. Okay, you off the light, then you can just relax on your mind, and maintain awareness to stabilize your awareness nature within, and stay there for as long as you can to maintain the continuity of mindfulness or awareness. So these are the first three support: relax, maintain awareness, and maintain continuity. Technically, it's for as long as you can while you are meditating. Then later on, when your awareness nature stabilizes, your mind will enter sati. When your mind will enter sati, you can be mindful in the midst of life. And when you can do that, you become beautiful. Then your meditation will take off. You will progress. Okay, I will now stop the sharing. so that you can go ahead with your meditation. You can continue with our second session. So second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may ask on the Dhamma or any sharing regarding the cultivation of Dhamma in daily life. So that topic is very useful, very wide. So you can share with us any aspect of Dhamma in daily life. It will be useful. So for the benefit of those who came in late, just now before we start, Man Yuan actually said something which is very useful and good news. He told me it's a big deal. My mother has become better. Means she has recovered very well from her fell early on, you remember? And she would like to thank all Kayamitas and me and whoever who has helped give the blessing. So that is good news. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. According to Man Yuan, she is now able to move her head more mobile and much better. That's why Man Yuan has a lot of joy. So we really rejoice on her behalf too.
Report. First, you know, sometimes when I'm in meditation, I feel like, very happy, joyful. Then I keep telling myself, always feeling happy and joyful. You know, so much I just aware of the feeling. Then and relax. Then I become in a way relaxed and be equanimous.
So every time you meditate, I saw on your face you have this joy. You did a lot of metta must be earlier on. Then you tend to have this joyous feeling in you. Then when you say you try to maintain equanimity, which is also quite a good, I should say, a good thing to do, but you have to be careful. You don't try to, like, want to be equanimous. So that one thing, that one thing to be equanimous may become a thought-based thing. So what you should do is you just relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. When you let things be, your mind will not stir. Because if you try to become equanimous, means you try to act like you don't want to stir, you don't want to react. So that will become suppression without you knowing it. It's not based on wisdom that your mind become quiet and peaceful. So take note of that. That one is very important. So you can just let things be because of your joy, then your happiness. Then, of course, you are peaceful, you are calm. Then whatever happens, whether sense experience that come to you, or you recall something, or certain type of thought, then, like you say, you try to maintain equanimity most of the time. So that one must be based on wisdom, understanding, so that your mind state is always equanimous based on wisdom. Means there is no reason to stir or react to be or become emotional or unhappy. You can just let things be at peace with every moment, every situation, every condition. And then you become beautiful, then you progress. Otherwise, if cultivators are not careful, they develop that intention to be equanimous, that it end up like suppressing your emotion. You don't want to react. So that is the slight negative side which cultivators need to adjust or be careful. Okay, then Karen, can you follow?
Yes, I understand, Dale. So it's good that we just be equanimous, but aware of the equanimous and relax, right?
Yes, based on understanding why you should not stir, then your equanimity will be there. So it is a mind state that is based on understanding.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
I have another question.
Yes.
You know, one of my friends, she's the one who, in a way, when I was 30 plus at the time, she told me to, I was telling her, you know, should I be a Christian or should I be a Buddhist, you know. And she told me, oh no, don't be a Christian, listen to Buddhism. But surprisingly, lately, I contacted, in a way, because sometimes we didn't keep in touch. And when we keep in touch, I was so surprised that she got a lot of problem, you know. And also got depression.
Very common. Yes. So do you have a?
She's a Mahayana. She follows Mahayana tradition. Yes. Then I told her, for the meantime, I advise her, you know, you must keep your five precepts very clean.
That one is very useful.
The sila is most important, I feel. Then another thing I just share with her, I feel that I told her to, in case anybody, you know, you build up metta, anybody who come across
very useful, metta. Good.
And hopefully that, you know, let me transform your life and, you know, change your life, you know,
better. Yeah, correct. And the other good news is the metta book, we are going to print them soon. The master final edited one. I think Brad Tim and Mr. Suri, they just sent it to me today. Then I will back through it, I think, latest by Tuesday or Wednesday, in 2-3 days' time, I can finalize it. Then they can get the printer to print it. Then we intend to distribute before the this gathering of Kairamita, the lunch. So those who can come and collect early, you can come. Otherwise, on that lunch gathering of Kairamita on the 31st of October, you all should receive a copy of this metta book. This metta book is very good. This metta book, I can show you. Can you all see? Wait, maybe nearer to the camera. Is it clear? Metta Bhavana, meditation on loving kindness. This is a very good book. It's actually two books written by Venerable Bhavana and Venerable Sankara. I forgot already. Let's check the name again. One is by Venerable Bhavana and the other one is by Venerable Acharya Buddha Rakita. Yes. And both these books are very good books. In the early days, it helped me to develop metta very strongly. And metta is a very good mind state, loving kindness. And when you have metta, like the Buddha say, it really makes your mind beautiful. When there is love, there cannot be anger. And when you develop metta, there are a lot of benefits, 10 very beautiful benefits of metta. And the Buddha also teach on metta sutta and the various technique or method to develop metta. Then I found one technique which is very good. The first metta technique that Acharya Buddha Rakita teach, I put on page 46, method one, most effective method. This particular method of developing metta is so useful, it's very powerful. Maybe I read to you so that you can understand. The instruction says sit down in a comfortable posture in a quiet location or place. It can be a shrine room or a quiet room in your house or in a park or in any other place providing privacy and silence. And keeping the eye closed, repeat the word metta, metta, metta a few times. And mentally conjure up its significance or great meaning. Metta means love. As the opposite of hatred, it will help us actually root out the opposite, direct opposite mental state of hatred, envy, and jealousy. Love as the opposite of hatred, resentment, malevolence, impatience, pride, and arrogance. And as a profound feeling of goodwill and well-being, sympathy and kindness, promoting the happiness and well-being of others. So you conjure up its significance. Then he said, visualize your own face in a happy and radiant mood. Every time you see your face in the mirror, see yourself in a happy mood and a radiant smile like what you do in your meditation. And put yourself in this mood during meditation, which you have done, Karen. Very good. A person in a happy mood cannot become angry or harbor negative thoughts and feelings. Having visualized yourself in a happy frame of mind, now charge yourself with this thought. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from suffering, free from hostility, free from affliction, free from sorrow, lamentation, and distress. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy always. As you suffuse yourself in this way, with the positive thought energy or thought force of metta, you become like a vessel, is content, ready to overflow in all directions. Means the vessel is full of metta. Means your nature is full of metta, then is ready to overflow. After that, you can radiate this metta out. Next, visualize your loved one or your meditation teacher or anybody who is close to you, if not just some other living teacher or reverend people. See him or her in a happy frame of mind and project the thought, may my loved ones, my teacher, be well and happy, be free from enmity or hostility, free from affliction, free from distress. May he or she be well and happy always. Then think of other persons who are to be revered and who are also living. Means they can be your parents, monks, teachers, or your elders, and intensely spread towards them one by one the thought of metta in the manner mentioned above. May they be free from hostility, free from all harm and danger, free from affliction, free from distress. May they be well and happy always. May they live happily. Then after that, they teach you other thought radiation, which are very useful and very beautiful. So you should go through. Then learn the various type of metta radiation. There is also the directional radiation. Then there is also the other technique, which is also very useful, as taught by the Visuddhi Magga. Then there is a lot of other beautiful description about metta. The Karaniya Metta Sutta, background of Metta Sutta, the three aspects of Metta, the ethics of metta, the psychology of metta, meditation on metta, metta bhavana, the blessing of metta, then the power of metta, and many other related to metta training. So this is a very good book. So hopefully it can help many people overcome negative tendency and develop the good mind. I still remember in the early day, before you start any meditation, you must have metta. When you have metta, you are protected. And you have good mind state and easy for you to relax, maintain awareness and calmness. Then you can concentrate your mind well, develop samadhi, develop the ability to be just aware and have good mind states. So you, the way you advise your friend is good. So even though, like you say, she last time advised you to choose Buddhism instead of Christianity, maybe she has the reason. But the thing is, after so many years, when you met her again, you are now equipped with the understanding and the Dhamma's teaching. That's why you are more happy, you have less mental problem, or you have less life problem. Whereas you can see in your this friend, although she has been many years so-called Mahayana practitioner, the problem with Mahayana teaching, the pro and con is they have a lot of good teaching, but the negative side is compared to Theravada. Theravada has the essential Dhamma, the foundation, the real essential Dhamma teaching of the Buddha. And this one, if you know how to apply it, then learn it and apply it based on what I have taught you, it becomes very beautiful. It can transform your life like you all came to know. It can make you a better person. It can help you avoid all evil, take care of karma, develop wholesomeness, and become a blessing to all. And you can have the good life. Then you will know how to cultivate the phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti, leading to Patipatti, the cultivation of it, the learning of the teaching, which is Pariyatti, phase one. Then the practice of cultivation of this Dhamma is Patipatti. Then third phase is Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. That's why you reap the good life of an enlightened being. So all these are very useful. So you should actually develop them. Then the other thing that you can observe is his Mahayana side, because they are not taught systematically and not so conducive in its way of maybe presenting the Dhamma. So they don't have this benefit of the Theravada tradition to actually help transform them. The Zen or the Mahayana normally is more penetrative type of teaching, but they lack foundation, the essential Dhamma. They don't seem to have that. So because of that, it's quite common to see this Mahayana practitioner having life problem, life situation problem, then entering depression, like what you can see. So your advice to her is good. So keep it up.
I'm quite shocked, you know, and I get to know he's about 65, he's got financial problem, now going to look for a job.
You
know, yeah, I come across practitioner, I have so many people.
It's quite common. If you don't take care of karma, you can land yourself in such situation. Then you don't know how to apply the Dhamma to overcome it. It's actually very pitiful. Shocking also, like what you say. At the age of 65, out of job, pandemic. So a lot of people are not so blessed. And then when they are faced with problem, first noble truth, reality, they cannot overcome. And they cannot develop the Dhamma understanding to actually overcome it or to be free from all this. And then they will, in a way, be afflicted. Then they become unhappy. Mental suffering arise, leading to depression and all those things. Yeah, so it's good to observe all this. This is Dhamma in daily life. You can see through example. And it's very common. For most people who are heedless without the Dhamma understanding, or even so-called Buddhists who don't have the true understanding and cultivation, they cannot liberate. They cannot actually be free. They will still be entangled. Good, Sadhu, very good.
Thank you very much, Rathio, and thank you very much, Sadhu.
Miss Lee, Sadhu, Miss Lee, you are back?
Okay, thank you very much, Rathio, for all the
your video.
Essential.
Your video was very good. The video you sent was very good. Where did you get it?
Oh, a friend shared with me.
Oh, okay.
I saw it is very relevant.
Yeah.
So I share it Kalamitas. And I find that actually during this MCO is a very good time because since I always listen the Dhamma from the direct listening, this momentum or understanding actually will ripen during when there is the right conditions. The mind seems to the awareness because of this MCO is last time when I try to do the daily mindfulness, I find that it doesn't take just a few morning section you can, after that it lost.
Yeah.
But because of the MCO when Bratio mentioned before the MCO Bratio mentioned that you got a retreat in Cameroon.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go, so I take this opportunity to do my own retreat.
At home.
So after that, I did the daily mindfulness, and actually that helped me a lot.
Definitely.
Compared to sitting, because most of the time, and I find that it go through a few stages. One stage is the awareness. We still have to use our thought to do it. To remind ourselves to be mindful. And later on, it comes to be quite a natural process.
Yeah.
When it comes to natural, actually now I can understand why brothers still say that your hand move. Actually, it's not that you want it to do. It naturally comes by itself.
Yes.
Every movement, it pick up.
Yeah. The awareness, so it becomes, pick it up.
It aware by itself.
Yeah,
and actually, awareness, when there is awareness, there is no reaction. It's just with the understanding and solution.
No thought at all. It's just aware.
Actually, it's not doing by us. It's a natural process.
Awareness pick it up. Then it becomes
to have a solution for everything. Like even something that is negative to you.
Yeah.
When fear arrives before it can take over, the awareness took over, the solution comes.
Correct. The solution is your initial wisdom.
Then the Dhamma, when the wisdom see the Dhamma, it's actually 360. It's not only one, one understanding. It link to maybe become very practical.
So that you know how to deal with the situation. You not only don't react, you not only don't like become affected, but you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path to actually resolve all issues amicably. So from right view, you can accept. The ability to accept bring about the moment's reality and you can be at peace. That is the beginning. Means you have this wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So when the causes and condition is established, things will arise in this way. Cannot be otherwise. You want things your way, you will suffer. So this understanding will come. Then you accept first. Then with that clear mind, not projecting, not stirring, not reacting, it will have clarity to see what is going on, what is happening. Then the initial wisdom will surface. The Dhamma will surface. Sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. All people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Thing is just the way it is. Then straight away that understanding will allow you to be at peace. Then you will know how to act. If condition like that, things will be like that. If I accept, then I can act. How do I act? I act following Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is a solution. It brings about the condition for all suffering to end. That is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So Noble Eightfold Path is very important because Noble Eightfold Path has no negativity. So all action based on Noble Eightfold Path is to act according to wisdom. From right view, you arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action. And when you do that, you are following the Dhamma way. Means you do not create negativity or coming action. That's how you can resolve things amicably. Then you do what you have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. You need to repent. You repent. Then you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, not to repeat all this. Then after that, third one is the turnaround. Invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to resolve all this amicably or turn around. So this is how it will transform the cultivator, which is very good. At least now you have slowly developed the ability to appreciate daily mindfulness. Yeah. In the past, when you don't do it, you cannot see because the thought is actively wanting to be mindful. So the thought that wants to be mindful cannot practice mindfulness because it's thought-based. So they try to be mindful. Who is trying? The thought. But without the thought means your daily mindfulness, the awareness is already there. Then it can be aware of any phenomenon. That's why after that, your hand movement, specific phenomenon, awareness, or anything you come to perceive, your mind has entered sati, that everything will be in sati. That's why there is mindfulness in everything that arises. That's how the daily mindfulness have the ability to transform the cultivator. Then after that, the cultivator can see, can understand, because that power of mind to observe through mindfulness, which is just aware without thinking, without thought, without the interference from your views, opinion, and conditioning. It's just that awareness that it's just aware. Then when it's just aware, it can see, it can understand, it can know why things are like that. What are the conditions behind the arising? Then what are the condition like wrong view that cause you to react and stir and become what you are, and how you develop unnecessary mental suffering, mental fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all this, the moment your awareness has the ability to witness and see them, then you start to straighten your view. You start to tell yourself, like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. I don't have to react. I don't have to do anything. I can just be at peace. You know, I understand. I can accept the reality of the moment. Then I can just proceed with the cultivation. Continue to straighten my view. Develop more stability of right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the right living and for right effort, followed by sati and samadhi. Then you complete your whole cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Then you continue to progress. Your mind continue to flower, to understand. Then Dhamma keep on unfolding in you. Then you come to realize life itself is the best teacher. From life, you learn very fast. These are living Dhamma, real Dhamma. Very good. Salute to you. Eh?
Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share?
No, just that I feel that all these days, that as long as we put into what we learn, there is a way. And I find that this way is very interesting.
Yeah.
And you can actually be at peace at all states of mind. Yeah, that means you don't expect equanimity.
Correct.
Any state of mind,
because of the understanding, you automatically become at peace. And when you're at peace, you are in a state of equanimity. Yeah, you don't stir, you don't react, you don't want things your way.
And
so
the
cultivation is all about.
And the mind often arises contemplative by itself.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
means the question arises, and once you contemplate into it, it's very penetrative.
Yeah, yeah. And you are awakened. Because all things that happen in life is Dhamma. So when you contemplate and reflect with the Dhamma understanding that you already have, it becomes more and more beautiful. It will unfold deeper and deeper. Then you start to understand things that you never understood before. Then from understanding your own mind state, you can understand others who are trapped in the delusion, who have the evil root conditioning them into negativity or mind state. You can understand. Then you will understand clearly what the Buddha meant by self-delusion. Sakkayaditti, all become very clear. The egoic mind become very clear. You can see how the egoic mind created the personality, the ego. Then from there, how the evil root of selfishness, envy, jealousy all come in. Because without the personality, there is nobody to condition you to be greedy, to be possessive, to do this, to do that. But because you have this wrong view, believe that the form and mind is real, is what you are. That's why this one wants to own things, wants to possess things, then wants to react to things, become angry, emotional. Then the three evil roots start to appear. The last evil root is when you don't have the understanding. You have doubt, you have fear, you have worry, anxiety. You don't understand what is going on. And you keep on questioning, why is God so unfair? Why my boss like that? Why my good friend like that? Why my mate also like that? So all these questions come from the egoic mind, the thought. Well, it don't have Dhamma, it don't have wisdom, it don't have right view. So when all this mystery starts to unfold, then you understand life. Then you understand clearly why living beings the way they are. Because of delusion, ignorance, because of the egoic mind, the personality, the sakkayaditti. So once that one is rooted out, then you realize the evil root collapse. They cannot stay there. Where there is no one to be selfish, to be lustful, to be possessive, to be egoic. Then there is no one to have anger, hatred, jealousy, envy. All these things collapse because the ego is no more. So when you see through daily mindfulness the dependent origination, condition arising, cause of, then you realize this form and mind is not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, no reality. You are like the Buddha said, the five aggregates of form and mind is empty. They go the way of nature. They have these universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering when you attach. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's he no you, he no me, anatta, empty, no reality. And then all this will stabilize and unfold. Then you become beautiful. And that's how your Dhamma become more and more penetrative, more and more stable. Your right view become more and more stable, more and more penetrative. Until one day you realize a lot of things that you used to habitually react and stir, you cannot do anymore. Your wisdom free your mind. So this is how the Dhamma unfolds. So you have set the condition for this teaching to come out again so that other people can understand the process. That's why starting from daily mindfulness is very important. You know the stages you go in. Initially determined to be aware, where you know it's important. So thought is involved, but only at the initial stage. Then like I say, don't try to know, just do. Do until body and mind become one. Do until your mind becomes so sensitive, so clear, the awareness, that free mind can be in a state of silent inner awareness. Stabilize that awareness nature. That's why all meditation is to train the mind to be aware. Then settle down, relax, maintain awareness until the awareness nature is very stable, until mind enters sati. Whether you do anapanasati or rising falling or whatever is the same. Let the mind settle down and become very quiet and very still. Until no movement. Just like the poem you sent to me for 2 years during the birthday. Very good. Let the original mind return to its original state of stillness before stirring. And the awareness nature is the one that can actually give rise to the understanding. Where the awareness nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this are very beautiful. And the last few years, you have started to appreciate all the important Dhamma understanding that I share with Kayamita, especially the unique code and all those things, which you were able to actually, the very first few Kayamita, to put it into you call that one, the frame up one. No frame up. I know code, but the frame up thing you call it. The one you frame up. Not really.
Meditation relax.
Yeah, correct. But what you call that, when you frame it up, you call that one. not only plug. Like this one. Dharma poster. Not poster. You frame it out, you become one.
Actually, quotes.
I know it's quotes. It's quotes. It's good, but what do you call that thing with the frame on it? Normally, we hang out on the wall. No, like the tapezo, you frame it out. Then you put it on the wall. Or the xingqing, you frame it out. Then you put it on the wall.
Contemplate.
No, there's a word for that thing. It's not the you call what already?
Is it proverb? No.
Oh no, like my doctor says, it's a plug. Like you in the
university. Daily reminder.
No. Nothing to do with that. It's that thing, that plug thing, that artwork that you come out with. Like you do very well in the exam. They will award you with a trophy or the one frame up one. It's
certified.
Plug or a medal or whatever. So that one in the Buddhist term, I think there is a word for it. Never mind, we call it the Dhamma code. The Dhamma code easier. So that Dhamma code that you put into the glass frame is very good, very useful. These are the first two I remember. Then after that, Ingbi also started to prepare the whole list. That's how the condition arrived. Then she proposed that we compound into a book. So the unique code actually come from there. So we like to thank you for initiating it first. Sadhu to you. That is rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Because of that, you have actually progressed well. Okay. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Thank you, Raju.
You will become different from the early years when we were going through the Heart Sutta. That time, your questioning, your sharing come from the thought. It's still thought-based. You have not developed the daily mindfulness. But now, after you have developed the daily mindfulness, after you have developed the understanding, the way you're reporting is different. the way you understand things is different. You can say all these things out. That's why my nature rejoice. Sadhu to you. Keep up with the good progress. Sadhu.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. The Metta book, when it come out, you all should, especially people who are quite new, the people who are quite new to the Dhamma, like David or even that Casey, Chiu, and a few others, you should read through and develop Metta. Metta is very useful. I remember in the early years, 30 whole years ago, I developed that Metta very strong. 30 whole years, I think almost 40 years ago. I started with Metta, and my mind state was very strong. Even when I was in the university, my Metta was so strong every day. From my room, first year student every day, 1975. I did a lot that time until my mind state is so calm, so still, so stable. Then the three stages of Metta I went through, the three phases of Metta. Initially, you verbalize, it's like still thought based. Then you verbalize, it's like parroting. Then as you move on, you put in the feeling, the feeling. Now when the feeling come out, it become very strong. So that feeling of Metta will start to develop, like just now, method one, I read to you how you visualize and you feel. Then when you feel, that is the first stage of Metta. So after you have the ability to feel, that Metta, until it's like a vessel waiting to overflow and all those things, then which means you have Metta. Not until you have Metta, you cannot radiate it out. And then the second phase is to radiate it out. Radiate it out using your will, like you will to somebody. Then this Metta goes there. Then your visualization also can have that feeling intensified. And relate to that person, and you relate to that person, and it's very effective. That person can be very far away from you, different corner of the globe, but very effective. The moment you relate, you visualize, you will reach that person. But the third phase of Metta is the most difficult. This one you can do. You are beautiful. You no need to do anything. That Metta force, that energy, very soothing, come from your heart. There is a very soothing Metta force or energy coming out from your heart, flowing out from your heart. It really flow out. That one, animal can feel, non-human can feel. All these beings, they will rejoice. But to do that, you must have Metta. So when you have Metta, that nature, everything he shared and he speak, I remember the time when I delivered the Dhamma, the Metta was so strong. It's no longer needed. It has gone beyond the radiation phase. That Metta just come out. No need to will, it just free flow. It just come out. Everything you share or speak, the embodiment of Metta is so strong, it just come out from your nature. But the phase two will pass. After that, you have to develop the cultivation, the wisdom part, the daily mindfulness and all those things. That's why stage by stage, your cultivation will change, transform. And this Metta was very useful, I remember. Especially when I did the 10 directional Metta, very powerful. Until the whole nature is imbued with Metta, my whole nature, every now and then the Metta energy very strong. Until my heart there at the center, like there's a cylinder of energy making me very calm, full of loving kindness and Metta. And that Metta nature energy keep on flowing out. Then I tested with people, you remember? initially is somebody who walked towards me and read it, silently read it. Then that lady actually initially was like daydreaming or having problem and lost in thought, thinking. Then all of a sudden the metta like affected her. No? Then she starts to raise her head and look at me, you know, and doesn't know why she do it, you know, but there's a good feeling inside. Then she's like very strange. Why did she do that? She wasn't gonna, but my nature understand. Then maybe I thought in front easy. Then later I go and try another one. I was walking behind her, another lady. Then I read it. Surprisingly, that lady turned around, looked at me and smiled. Then I also smiled. Like, she also doesn't know why, but that metta is very strong. So all these are possible. So there is condition, this Dhamma will arise. So have faith, cultivate metta. Then after that, go towards the Dhamma. Then daily mindfulness, you will progress. Follow the religious routine that I share with you all. If you do that, your daily mindfulness will come about. That's why Pochenga so progress. And then meditate with understanding. Go through the unique Dhamma code. You will progress. Because all these are very powerful pointers that can allow you to understand the teaching and awaken. It will straighten your view. Then when your view gets straightened, you know what to do. You know what is important. You know what is relevant. So all this will unfold and you become beautiful. Okay? So hopefully this will help you all understand the mind a better way. Okay. Yeah. So let us rejoice with all the good sharing. Sadhu. Sadhu.
I know, lately I wasn't that got many, not much things to share.
Oh.
Never mind, whatever you do or report meditation also can. Dhamma in daily life, do you nowadays start to reflect, contemplate and apply it? The application of Dhamma in daily life is very useful.
How to say Lately it was very stressful, so it's like,
oh, okay. Then you might discuss with your mom. Your mom can help you. Is it because of work or what?
It's because of work.
Talk to your mom. Your mom can actually talk about you. Yeah, you want to share it? Then I can advise you too.
It's like having a lot of things to do, so it's hard to but the thing is having a lot of things to do, then it's like showing like what Bhadatil say like at night when if you're too busy with your work then at night the mental thing will come out. It's like for example yesterday I went for it's like riding on a big bike lah. Then I don't know, somehow maybe I don't know how to ride a motorcycle before, so when I ride the bike then it's like it overturns, you know. Then it becomes like a bit like a phobia to me. Then at night I noticed that the phobia was coming out already. And yes. I was sleeping. Then the whole thing
comes
again.
Accumulated, yeah. It will keep on surfacing, yeah.
And then I can hear like the even I'm sleeping, I can hear the sound of the engine.
The engine like haunting you.
It's the time, it's just before I go to sleep, you know. So it's like I was like, oh, now I know, okay, this dream is coming already.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
You cannot stop it on,
So I just I'll just relax. Yeah. It comes for it, the purpose to, you know, release it out, ma. So
Subconscious release. Because you have actually through that phobia or that fear when it happened, when your motorbike overturned, actually a lot of people go through life when certain incident happen, that phobia went in one. Then that one can actually continue to haunt them or harass them. And that thought, especially it just happened to you, it keep on arising. But I can advise you, because as a cultivator who has the Dhamma, you become different. You can become different. Like what my daughter recently went through is a good example for you to learn. Because she last time used to, like in the early years when she graduated, she drive around in her own car. Then the first 1-2 years tend to have a lot of accident. But because every time accident, I just advise her to resolve it. And I teach her to resolve it. Then it overcome. Then after that, she went to Singapore to work for more than 10 years. Then she seldom drive. Then lately, she come back. She wants to learn to drive. So I let her drive my Otis car first. Then later on, she recall she got her dream car, which is the Mini Cooper, the sport version. She very scared of driving that sport version because it get that car too powerful for her and she not used to it. So initially, she also got some form of like excitement and fear combination. Especially the first time I bring her to test drive. Luckily, that one is a second-hand one, about 6 or 7 years old one. That one is not so new. But first time she drive, she was very excited. Then because everything go her way, she didn't have problem like what you went through. So she was able to have that joy, understand? Then she starts to have more confidence. Then later on, test drive the new car. She got more excitement. Because when you long time haven't drive, like you mentioned just now, because you are not familiar with big bike, worse still, isn't it? So you treat every of this as life experience. There is something new you have to learn. So initially last night, when new thing, I also have to learn like IT thing. I told my daughter, I cannot understand like Dhamma, not so far. But to her, it's like Dhamma. I said, hey daddy, this one, very easy one, like that. You on this one, because you're familiar. It's like Dhamma, I also very familiar. I say, oh, this type, small matter, very fun. So new thing we have to learn. So for you, you tell yourself, this type of thing is very common. Not only it happened to you, it happened to everybody who don't learn that skill. So it's just like the first number two reality, it affects everybody. It's a common reality for all humanity, all living beings. So when it arises, you learn from it. You don't go and create the fear, the projection. But of course, the first time when it happens, you definitely will be affected. And this is because of karmic, understand not? Karmic is have its very strange way of coming back to torment you or torture you or haunt you. Well, in the past, you could have certain past life created fear or phobia of something that actually afflicted somebody, but you don't know. Because of you, they get into that trouble. So now there is no condition for somebody to make you like that. Then it comes in this form of motorbike for you to drive. Then you get into trouble. Then that phobia comes. Then this is karmic. Whatever you do to people, the condition arises, you become the one like the victim affected. So when it comes to this, accept the reality. It needs to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, and let things be, because everything is life experience. From life, you learn. You develop what they call understanding. Then you train yourself. If you really want to overcome that fear and the phobia, and go and learn how to drive a normal motorbike first. Don't go for the big bike first. Then start by doing something that is within your capability. Because one shot from not much bike experience, you go and drive a big bike, you are actually seeking trouble. So understand all this and no need to panic, no need to fear. And whatever that phobia is due to your lack of mindfulness, heedfulness, yoniso manasikara. Well, when you have mindfulness, what I always advise you to be is silence your mind. Be with that fear, be with that phobia. Do it. Do it. Then it cease. Then you will not have nightmare and dream, I tell you. Like you say before you go into the sleep, you already know it's coming because that vibration of the motor sound, the engine sound coming back to you already. Then you know when you go and sleep, you will have those subconscious release, the phobia and the nightmare, everything come out. But stay with it, aware. Don't panic. Don't react. And don't go and like through the thought say, ah, your sailor coming already. Again, this fellow come already. What's wrong? Everything is the way it is. Like the Buddha say, condition like that, things will be like that. This will surface. When it surfaces, I will have to understand it. Understand it by being relaxed, aware, silent. That is the third way, meditative. So I go into it. Then it ceases. Then when it ceases, that is the beginning of freedom. Then you realize, eh, all this is dependent originating. Coming, thought, no reality. It come and it go, it cease. So finally, the understanding is it cease. When it cease means I know this is not real, not intrinsic. It come because of my fear, I project my thought. I like shocked or like affected by what happened because this is the first time I drive a big bike and I don't have skill, I don't have ability to understand. Like now, my daughter, after that, he test drive. I say, you like it? Yeah, I like her share. Then maybe she can explain. Then she was able to drive happily, and now the car, she is learning to go down to KL and everywhere again. Okay.
Still learning la, driving. I think, Tammy, something for me to share is like, normally when I have fear, I notice it is actually, I fear the situation because of a mistake I made or whatever unfortunate accident that happened, and actually is the inability to forgive ourselves for making such a mistake that makes us fear it even more. I don't know if it is similar in your case, but usually if a scene keep repeating and it haunts me, right, there is something in there that I cannot forgive myself for. Yeah, either it is like, why I so tired, I make that mistake, or sometimes it is, why I could have died, or you know, that it's a projection of thought. These are all wrong thoughts.
Yeah.
These are, but because initially I was not aware that I am creating and giving energy to all these thoughts.
Yeah.
That's why it keeps happening until I realize, oh, I'm actually embarrassed, or I'm actually cannot forgive myself, or I am actually blaming myself. Then until I can forgive and love myself for, I am growing out of this. I am. This is part of who I am. It's made me grow. It's part of who I will be, how I will handle a future generation. Until a future situation when I live life, this will come in useful. Until I accept and see the benefits of the experience, I cannot accept the experience. That is something to share.
Also, the example you should give is that one, if worst case scenario, if people haunt you, that one is very useful.
So for me to get out the gate with the car, because sometimes
not familiar.
Yeah, the unfamiliarity, sometimes I have to drive very slowly, or I pause at the junction, afraid of people honking or people scolding, people show bad sign, or like women driver, all these things. Like, actually in the thought I realized all these are the ones stopping me from really learning,
calming down
to really learn so that I can actually overcome it. So after all, I noticed the thought that is most wholesome for me in such situation is
worst case
they haunt me or I bang on it. Which one better? Don't haunt. I bang car first, right? Then actually, then help me do whatever I need to do until I learn it. until I become skillful at it, then I will I will eventually learn. There are a lot of P drivers on the road. Never too old.
So that one is very good example. That one was my daughter share with us. He told us, he said, yeah, it's better than getting into an accident. Yeah. When people start to haunt you and create all this panic, then you worry, then you get yourself in this state of fear or phobia. You simply act, then you will get yourself into trouble, accident and all those things. But if you can accept this reality, this is the worst case scenario, haunt like them haunt lah, because I really don't know the way. What's wrong with that? If I don't know the way, I have to find out. You know, so I have to calm down. Calm down means what? I need to say sorry. I say sorry. Wave to people. Then the situation will be under control. So getting haunt is better than getting yourself into trouble through accident and all those things. So these are the initial skill that you develop through right thought, right view. When you straighten your view, when you can apply the right thought. I realize the worst case scenario when you understand, your mind calm down straight away. But I help many people who has problem with their career. They got so much fear of losing their job. A few of them work in the bank. Some work in company that are very difficult. Then I say, they came and see me. You know, wow, that fear, the phobia, went into depression. You know, this lady was harassing people and all those things, created the coming thing and all those problems. Then when she came, she was not listening. She keep on telling me her problem. Then every time I told her, you listen, all this happened because you didn't have this understanding and coming. She cannot follow. No. Before I even finish, she straight away, but you want to tell me her story, why she have this fear. I say, you look at yourself. You are so full of phobia, fear, worry, anxiety, and you are like full of misery, suffering. I say, your life, if you continue with all this, you are not going to change. You are going to have more and more suffering and misery. So your case is the most simple, I say, of all that came and see me. Worst case scenario is what? Losing your job only one. It doesn't mean the end of your life. Compared to somebody with terminal cancer or lung cancer or serious, they call it the critical illness. Yours is nothing, isn't it? The worst case scenario is to lose a job. Then after that, I share with her. I say, if you understand, you will not panic. So I ask her, how many years you work with the bank? Is it 10 over years? Very good. When you apply, you are on probation. You know, they give you a probation letter. Isn't it? So based on your qualification, they give you probation. Then did they confirm you? Is it yes? So if they confirm you after the probation, means you are qualified. Understand or not? Then now, actually because of something else, he never tell me. Then the actual company take action against her. Then she get into big trouble. She got this fear of losing her job. Then I told her, why must you fear? Because you qualify, understand not? He said, yeah, but because they didn't send me to any course. Now they throw that type of work which I don't have experience, I never do before. They expect me to deliver, they give me deadline, they stress me out and all those things. I say, why must you worry? If you cannot handle, you tell them you cannot handle. This is beyond you. Well, you don't have such training or qualification. If they want to train you, send you for course. Just tell them, why you worry? Then if you got too much work, you cannot handle, go back to them, which is priority. They cannot sack you, understand? If they want to sack you, they must have good reason. Otherwise, you bring it up to the industrial court, they will have to compensate you a lot of money. Then when I explain all this, she starts to calm down. But later on, she told me actually she got another problem. Then the other friend that came with her actually disclosed the thing. She was harassing another colleague in the office, and the colleague filed a complaint to the HR department, the bank, and they want to take action against him. They had to think a way to removing her. So that's why she get into this stress. They give her work that she cannot handle, pressure her until want to make her like voluntarily resign or give them her warning letter, and after that dismiss her and all those things. So luckily, after I explained to her, she starts to calm down. And she said, yeah, worst case scenario is to lose that job. So I say, you speak to people nicely, follow Noble Eightfold Path, need to apologize, you apologize. Then finally, I think she get to retain her job, and she was very happy. But later on, the same sickness come back again. They end up, I think, harassing Sui An and all those problems. But whatever it is, you can learn from all these things. Tell me, work is very easy. You have a contract, 9 to 5 means 9 to 5. After that, finish. They cannot harass you and ask you to work because you are qualified. They confirm you. So if they give you a job beyond your capability to do or beyond your job scope, you can tell them, I need training. This is beyond me, I can't handle. No need to shy. Then talk to boss. But your this case, motorbike one, I don't know how it ended. From your office, ask you to drive big motorbike. Oh, team building. Oh, okay. So that one small thing, no need to stress out. Take it as a joke, laugh at it. Or at least you get to experience a big bike. You never drive a big bike before. Like my daughter drive the sport version of the Mini. Oh, very exciting. No? You should create excitement of it. You can tell your story and share, wow, how that bike actually overturned. And you become like caught in it. Initially, the phobia and all those things. So, yes. Now you can become more peaceful, more calm. Okay. Tell me, now it's your turn. What do you want to say?
No, it's because my office work is like a lot, and then it's like taking out a lot of my time since MCO until now. So it's like continuously, and then...
Oh, I teach you a solution. Last time when I was working also with the consultant, well, I was so efficient, I was so good, they keep on giving me job. Everything throw to me, I settle it, I resolve it. Then they keep on giving me until the meeting clash, until a lot of things like cannot already. Then I go back to my classmate, actually also the boss, the partner of the company. I just told him, I said, which is priority, you have to let me know. Well, you have given me too much job. Which is priority, I do one at a time. Otherwise, clash cannot. Then later on, he came to realize that he has given me too much. He said, okay, this meeting I go. This one you pass back to me. You will just handle this few. That's how I resolve it. Then if I need more staff to help me or somebody need to take over, I will go and talk to him. I say, I think you better go and get me some junior staff. Then I can assign to them, I can delegate to them, then I can help you manage all this. Otherwise, I cannot. So don't be fearful. Don't go and take all the stress. Develop the understanding to go back to the boss. Means they are the one that give you all the work. So you do what you can do. Where the contract say one. 9 to 5, and you are not selling your help to the company, understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's a social, it's a contract for work. Means 9 to 5, I work for you, I try my best, that's it. Yeah, I'm qualified, you accepted me, the probation, all those things, you confirm it. Whatever that is beyond me, I can go back and tell you, this is beyond my scope. Then if it's too much work, ask them which is priority. Well, you can't handle. You have your family life, you have your own free time. 9 to 5 after that, you have to leave, you have to leave. Unless it's once a while, urgent, help out. Then different, you say, I can try to arrange for a certain emergency or whatever. But every day, cannot. So you need to actually have the understanding and talk to people confidently. Don't go and worry about losing your job. They cannot just sack you because of that. Otherwise, you can go to industrial court. You will win. Industrial court will cite the worker. Don't worry. They must not dismiss you with without proper valid reason. So all this, you can actually develop the understanding and it will help you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the reason I went for ATV is also like a company event lah. Just I want to relax a bit lah.
Yeah, that one take it lightly.
Then,
yes.
I didn't know ATV is like to ride a bike. It's just I first time I did it. Then it's in the jungle, you know. So it's especially it's pretty nice the jungle, you know. Then you like go through the jungle and
all
time I didn't go to the jungle already, so it's really nice. But the time when I go down the slope at time is like suddenly my handle, they say the handle should be straight, but I didn't know I tilted a bit. So the guide was far away, saw me stumble down, he jumped down. Actually I'm quite near the cliff already, I didn't know, I'm small, so I didn't see it near the cliff. I fall into the mud water at that.
Okay, too bad. But don't worry, learn from it.
Got a bit shocked about that.
Yeah, definitely. So learn, then apply the Dhamma. This is Dhamma in daily life. So what you go through is actually nothing. My wife and me went through when we were in Philippines was actually even more traumatic. But we managed to overcome it with understanding and nothing happened after that. We were told to go to a resort, where the crater up there with the hot spring and everything. Then they give us pony, you know. The pony, you know, small horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell us, say, God guide one, like your case, God guide one, somebody. I tell you that pony can only take one person. But that guy, in order to guide us, went on it. The pony kicked the guy out. You know? And you know what happened? That pony was on a very good ride. But then because he went over, that route was so steep, no. You ask my wife. It's an hour plus up and an hour plus down with the pony on that very narrow path. But luckily our karma very good. And I with mindfulness aware, I just echo and flow move the horse. Then we enjoy the thing. Finally we come back. There was one lady heart attack, I think. But we own nothing.
It's good for the.
Now then you saw my wife with the horse there. Oh, that's a very nice photo. And we have good memory. We don't have phobia, nothing. But you asked me to go again. I if I know about it, I say I would take that unnecessary risk. But that time when I already there, I cannot do anything. So I just use my Dhamma understanding and with the calm mind. Mindfulness, I just hold on to the thing, accord and flow, and never give problem to the horse or the pony. I really metta everywhere. That one help. So don't worry, Tammy. You will overcome it.
Thank you so much for the advice on the work course. So it's really, because I've been working for like sometimes Saturday, Sunday, so it's like very tiring, you know. And
And then
I also trying to learn like, how, like last time I used to have this kind of problem working a lot, then I straight away resign or go somewhere else, then I feel that it doesn't settle the problem. The problem is oncoming.
So that is not a good solution.
I will try to talk to my boss, write it down, so I see what she say first. So she also very busy, I understand. So if don't have any other solution, then I can see for other.
You must help them to resolve it. You say which is priority, and then they know understand. Then they will come out with something. Otherwise, they don't know. They themselves also very busy, also very stressed out. They try to dedicate down and load you up. Thank you so much, Sadhu. So let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, we better end.